So questions are beginning to come in. Let me start with the ones that I have. What advice or tips can you give for fixing relationships with people who have done you wrong in the past?
People may have done whatever they have done, but how I feel is really happening within me. So I need to forgive myself. And what I mean by forgiveness now is I have to stop recreating maybe those conversations or scenes or moments of my life in which that interaction was the way it was. And I need to, because if I recreate it in my mind, I make it alive. And that might have happened in the past, but because I keep thinking about it is alive. But it's my attention and my thought and my interest that is giving it life. So if I want to overcome those feelings, I don't need to do much with the other. I need to do with myself. I need to heal. And in this, I don't know if you are a practitioner of meditation, but meditation can help a lot to heal. And sometimes things that have been very, very strong experiences or very deep negative experiences in our lives are not so easy to heal. And this is where we can also take help. Sometimes talking about it to someone that you trust, someone that can offer a higher perspective that can. Will listen to you with that interest from the heart is very important. But also in meditation, we take divine help. And this is where really God's energy does so much in our hearts, because sometimes we don't have that strength to be able to overcome. But when we sincerely want to let go, and we need to offer it, we need to take his help, and he will help us heal. And we have an expression in the Brahma Kumaris, which I like very much. And that is when the fire of love, in meditation, when we start experiencing the love that is hidden within the soul, but that also comes from the divine connection of the Supreme Source, then that love heals. That love will take me all the way forward to my own self-respect, to understanding my own self-worth, and that what I want is what really matters now. So forgiving is about letting go, transcending that which I have been holding on to.
Thank you. The next question, how do you know when to dissolve a relationship and stop being so accommodating?
Sorry, can you repeat
How,
that?
yes.
Can you
How
tell?
do you know when to dissolve a relationship and stop being so accommodating?
Yeah, that's very good. Well, there's a metaphor that I like, and I like, as you know, I'm a traveler. I think that we're all like sailing boats, and we create relationships. I mean, I'm not referring to the mom and dad relationship, but maybe partnerships or friendships. And so we come across people. It's like sailing. We're all sailing in the ocean, and we meet. We're individuals, we're whole, but we meet. We're never one, we're always two. But we can do a part of the journey together. But we're not bond together. We're only together for however much we consider that is necessary. And sometimes the relationships become so harsh or so difficult, communication is so stuck and there's so much blockages that taking a distance is very healthy. And that may not be a permanent distance, but it could be some form of space where you have, like, I would say, regain your oxygen and that you're able to regain your perspectives, that you're able to think, you know, what is it that I want? Sometimes you can dissolve a relationship, you can finish a relationship, you move on, you just move on. Think of so many relationships we have had since our childhood. We're sailing through life, meeting people all along. We're not bound to people. So we share affinity. Sometimes we share the opposite. But, you know, really, nothing is meant forever. So I think we can preserve and take care of good relationships. And sometimes the solution is to move on. And we don't need to expose ourselves to things that we can't handle, you know, forever. I have seen Daddy, you know, when we have gone to her in different situations about things happening in different places, people who have kind of chronic conflicts, and Daddy just said, you know, where do you want to go? So giving each one a chance to do something elsewhere. And then you get like a new page. If you haven't changed the habits that created the conflict, they'll come with you wherever you go, which means you will recreate that relationship with somebody else. So change is really mandatory. But we do need to feel that we flow, that we move. And we have that freedom to choose.
Nice, very nice. What advice would you give someone who's not very good at creating relationships or friends?
Yeah, maybe they feel very shy or threatened. I think that we have to, if your intention is, I do want to have friends, for example, or I do want to have, you know, a relationship with someone, then you probably have to identify what fear you have. And sometimes shyness, you know, can be, you know, sometimes it's just an ego thing. And we have to do something and make a little effort. And like, I'm trying to think what it would be that would be the difficulty. Like, I feel threatened by people, or I am afraid to be seen, or so I think that, or maybe, you know, you can start with yourself and valuing yourself, because relationships really reflect what is going on within me. Sometimes the way we treat people is the way we treat ourselves. But maybe the fact that I can't come close to someone is because I'm not paying much attention to myself either. So maybe I could start with that relationship, like talking to myself, what it is that I want, what it is that I value, seeing my qualities, and, you know, appreciating myself, appreciating what I am, my way of interacting, appreciating my way of participating or being part of things. So if I create a relationship that I can trust myself, then I will also feel that I can trust others, and they will also feel they will be able to trust me.
Okay, Thank you. Let's explore this next one. And they're referring back to the first question on forgiving yourself. Do you have any tips to help someone who has been burnt several times before and is now unable to be vulnerable around people? And thus, and as a result, it's harder to get close to them.
Well, I think we have all gone through a lot on the journey of life. There's an expression in Spanish to say we burn our eyelids, no, in relationships, like we trust and then we are deceived and then we get hurt. And so this, in a way, makes us feel that, well, better let me stay distant. That might be safer, no? But I think that it really comes back to ourselves, and what kind of relationship am I? What kind of friend am I to myself? Maybe I have exposed myself too far and allowed people to kind of tread on me. And I haven't taken care of myself enough because maybe I haven't valued, maybe, and I would only not value myself because I don't know myself too well. So I think that, again, I would say that, the practice of meditation brings us home and allows us to look within. And if we look within, we will see two different worlds, let's say. One thing is, the world of our habits, and there's where we are in duality. And so we will find good habits and bad habits. So you would say, I am a bad person for this and this and this and this other reason. And you would have lots of reasons to say so, because maybe we have developed those habits. And then we might also say, well, but I'm also a good person because I developed these other good habits. But if we look deeper, because habits are acquired, whether good or bad, they are acquired. But if we have it, we go deeper within ourselves and we observe our nature. There is a part of me that has always been and has never changed. And that is my very core being. That is my essence, who I am as a spiritual energy, as a living being. And that nature is peaceful. And if we look at relationships and say, okay, I'm in a conflict here and a conflict there, but every morning when I get up, do I want more conflict or do I want harmony? And I will surely find myself saying, I want harmony. And you say, why do I want harmony? Because it is my nature, because peace is what I really am. So I would want to come back home. And maybe I have gone a long way outside of myself, trying to find that in relationships, expecting this from others, expecting this from situations, and being deceived again and again. It's like the soul, the battery of the soul has kind of, due to a continuous expression of, the energy that I am, it's kind of run flat. And my core being still is who I am. I am peaceful, but the emptiness in the battery is not peaceful. It's very much the opposite. If my cell phone ran out of battery, it would just be empty, but neutral. But when the soul is empty, it is not neutral. It becomes the opposite. So I become angry or jealous or attached or very possessive, you know, or very egotistic. And so, and we identify with that. And we believe that that is what I am. But then I'm not happy being like that. So I think that this, I bless this quarantine, global retreat, as I call it, has given us the chance to look within and awaken, to become aware of the wealth and the richness of the soul, the original beauty of who we are. And I see, for example, that meditation is taking up. You were asking me about Argentina, but I would say it's become a global trend. And I love to see people in business going for retreats. I think this is great because there's this understanding that we need to become happy. And this is what makes us productive, ultimately, creative. And so I think that this is such a time that we can really explore that deep, deep aspect of who I am. And I would be, you know, this is something that I cherish because it's like the being is like a jewel. It's invaluable. And that energy is not something that can ever die. It is forever. And I may be good and bad and I could change, but that is duality. But I will always be who I am. No matter what, I will always be. So an invitation to go deeper into that diamond that you are.
Moira, there's a couple of more questions that I'd like to put to you, if that's okay. This is a really interesting question. What if you are chronically critical of yourself and all the things you've done and how you've alienated people you love? How do you forgive yourself? I'm slowly making amends with the other people, but I can't with myself.
Yeah. Thank you for your question. I feel very identified with your question. Very, very much so, because it has been also my effort. And you know, when we are very critical of others, it's because we also are very critical of ourselves. And we now, in your question, you're also saying we are aware that how much that has hurt or hurts others. And then we can also see how much I would have hurt myself through that. And what I have found is that, you know, moments in which I was not able to appreciate myself, because ego, you know, when we criticize, we think we are better. This is the problem. We think we're right and they're wrong, and we find fault in everything and everyone, and we think we have a right to give an opinion. And so little do we know how much, how that is emptying my own world. And so criticism leaves love out. And so I have found a, you know, a slow way back, or slowly I found a way back into God's heart, because I didn't have the strength to overcome it on my own. It was a very strong habit, and I still working at it a lot. But I feel that I used the vision, and this is, you know, an aspect of meditation when we think about meditation as relationship with the divine, in which we see God's energy as being my father or my mother and my friend or my teacher. And this, it is a very, very intimate process of the self when we are able to undress from our ego, which could at some point be painful, but sometimes we're so used to the image we have from an ego perspective that we feel, how could I do without it? What's left? As if you're going to fall from a cliff. And really, it's not falling off a cliff, it's spreading the wings of your self-respect and learning how to fly. But what helped me here is that I really, in this silent connection, it's like the vision that God holds of his children is whole. You are a whole being. And his love being unconditional does not hold a vision of my imperfection. And that mirror of my goodness, the mirror of my worth, is what is helping and has helped me to recreate myself. And what I would never see or accept in me, I know that he holds that vision for me. And I can slowly grow into that because I can trust the truth in his heart, the truth that lies in a love that has no questions, that is completely accepting. And when we feel truly accepted and loved is when we open our heart and allow love in and love out. So I would strongly recommend meditation because I'm working on it. And I thank you for your question because I think it's a very, very, it's a very deep commitment with the self to be true, to be loving and accepting of others. It is only when I accept myself that I will accept others. And in doing so, when I see what it takes to transform my own negative habits, then I'm also able to accept the efforts others are doing to be themselves, to whatever they need to go through to free themselves from their own illusion. We're all on the same boat. We're all on the same journey. It's our journey to conquer our ignorance. It's our only enemy. And regain that freedom that comes from being myself, just myself, without having to prove anything. And so I think that it takes courage. It takes courage to ask this question. But you know what? There's a big secret in this connection with divine energy, that when we give one step of courage, then he will take us further many, many steps. So we can hope for the best when we sincerely want to change that habit or any other habit.
Wow, thank you. The next question is, how can I rekindle an old friendship how can I rekindle an old friendship that broke off due to conflict?
Yeah, It's a very beautiful feeling to want to unite what was broken. I think that we need to prepare. Sometimes, depending on the situation that brought you apart, but we can prepare. Like, first of all, nourish that feeling that you have, that you want to create unity. You want to be united. And that is regardless of what others will say or do with what you will offer. You will plant that seed in the garden of your mind and your heart. And that will bring such beautiful feelings in your life. And that light will certainly be seen. And, you know, if a light is bright in a dark place, it will surely, lighten up others. So I think that, this humble, honest and generous feeling of recreating a broken relationship will take courage. Maybe it will take you to conversations about the past at some point, and you could probably bring the light of realizations that have happened along the way that you can offer, that would, you know, offer the feeling that it's okay. It doesn't matter. We can move on from there. So, and make sure that we keep our heart clean. And if, you know, sometimes when we come together, things are triggered because we remember the scenes, the people, the whatever, the moments. And so we have to come back, always come back to yourself and make sure that, you know, we're letting go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Nothing is really worth losing my happiness. So, you know, and I think that if you have this gift you want to offer, I'm sure it will be accepted, because unity is, I mean, and I think that what I would say that the greatest sickness today is loneliness. The loneliness that comes not from being alone in a house or you know, on the mountaintop, but the loneliness of not being understood and not being appreciated. So if you have these lovely feelings you want to offer, I am sure there will be fragrance going into another garden, inspiring or awakening those feelings in others too.
I'm just going to go back to the question before this last one about being chronically critical of yourself. And you spoke about using the divine energy. And the person's come back with a question. Do you need to be religious for that?
Good question. Thank you. Well, not necessarily, because meditation is becoming aware of who I am. And it takes deep observation of my inner world and discovery of the energy that I express through everything I do, being part of just doing my playing, you know, doing my part, whatever I do. So it's like coming back home to that. And when we become aware of me being a living, conscious energy, very powerful energy, that enables me to also recognize that that energy has a source, and that the source of the energy of the soul is divine energy, because the soul is divine energy. It's not just an ordinary energy, like the energy of the lights around me. It's divine, refined energy, conscious energy. And so the source of that light, of that energy, is equally refined, divine. But as a source, is a very, very powerful energy. And so we need to become silent enough to make this connection and come back home to the silence that is original in ourselves, in our us as beings. And this is where we perceive the presence, divine presence of the source. And God whatever you call it, divine energy or supreme being or the Father or whatever, it is a flow of power. It is a flow of energy that we reconnect with, and it awakens in us that which is eternal, but that has been dormant for a long time. This is why we're trying to come back to harmony, because back to harmony means we were in harmony, but we lost it on the way. So we're trying to come back home. So that which has become dormant or distant or somehow not clear for us, when divine supreme energy touches the soul, it awakens that in us. And this connection is a spiritual connection, because it is, the soul is spiritual energy and the source is spiritual energy. And that is beyond all beliefs. It's beyond, it's beyond anything limited. So here's an invitation to come into that very deep silence, because it awakens a very deep aspect of ourselves. When we come back to myself, it's like I regain identity, a spiritual identity. But when I reconnect to the source, I regain a sense of belonging. And this is very, very powerful, because it's like reconnecting to an energy that corresponds to the soul. And that is regardless to anything that I have learned, really. It's like, you know, like the sun is to the flowers. You know, like the flowers, they need heat and light. And when that light touches them, they open and they blossom, they grow. We need heat and light. We need the heat of love and the light of truth. So when that light that has a source, divine source, when it touches us, it awakens that which is what we are.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. I think that brings us to the end of our evening here in London, and your afternoon in Argentina. So thank you very, very much, everybody, for joining us. We hope to see you again next week, and with a friend, with some luck. Moira, thank you for making the time, and we hope to welcome you back in 2021 if you have the time. If not physically, then on Zoom, for sure.
Thank you, Artie.
And many, many people are saying thank you. They've really enjoyed it.